As you make your way back to your seat, you may recall back in August, Brother Brian Byers moved to back to Illinois, his home state, moved to Sullivan, Illinois, to pastor his home church there. And we're just so thankful that he's back home tonight. He's in town this week. And so when I found out, I asked him to minister. Brother Byers, come. It's good to see you. We're glad you're home. Amen. Amen.
Love you, Pastor.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be home. I love this church. I love this body of believers. And when I texted Pastor and said, I will be in town Wednesday night. Just wanted to let you know that I'll be here. And because I'm just trying to be a good saint. And he asked me if I wanted to preach, and I wanted to say, no, I want to hear you preach. But I was obedient, and I said, sure. And so here we are, and I love my pastor, and amen. Watching the sermons on video is good, but in person is better. Just remember that, in person is better. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, and then we're going to go to Revelations 4 and 11. If I haven't had a chance to shake your hand, hug your neck, I promise I won't run out of the building like it's on fire afterwards. And I want to say hi to everybody that I possibly can before we go tonight. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And then Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach for the next few moments on created to praise. Created to praise. Jesus, we love you, we worship you, and I'm thankful, God, for the word, God, that you've given me for tonight, and I'm thankful for this great church. God, I need your anointing. I need you to anoint my mind and my mouth and my spirit. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help me, God, to deliver the word. Help me to do a good job in a short amount of time. God, I pray that you'd impact lives and touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I start, I forgot. It's good to see Priscilla here tonight. I met Priscilla the last weekend I was in Jacksonville in Orange Park. And we met and we started talking about Jesus. And, you know, when you start talking about Jesus, he kind of shows up. And you could just feel him in the conversation. And I knew, and we started talking about, you know, where I go to church and where she goes to church. And you know, we were just talking about the Lord. And I said, you know, I am actually moving. I said, would it be okay if I gave your contact information to a young lady at our church named Paige? And then I walk in tonight, and here's Priscilla and Paige here tonight. And is this your first time here, Priscilla? It's my first time back since I saw you, so I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. And these people are awesome. Just I'll leave it at that. So, when my son was a freshman in high school, he really wanted to go see the school choir. And I'm like, I really don't want to go see a high school choir tonight. It was not on my to-do list, but he wanted to go. So we all went to hear Paxson High School Choir for the Christmas program. And it was unlike any choir I had ever heard on the high school level. For one, they were singing some I think Tremaine Hawkins, if you know who Tremaine Hawkins is, that's usually not sung in public high school. It was great. But one of the things they did was for one of these more, it wasn't a song where you'd sway back and forth, but it's a song where you'd kind of hold your hands like this and The notes are all large and open and round. They stood along the sides of the auditorium. They had a big center aisle, and the people down the middle were like facing, one kid was facing this way, the next kid's facing that way, every other kid all the way down the middle. And so they began to sing, and usually when a choir sings, they're up on the stage or the platform. And I was like, well, this is different. But the sound just, it was like surround sound like I'd never heard before. I thought, well, this is really kind of neat. This is interesting where the choir is singing at each other, not to someone else. And there's a name for this. It's called antiphonal singing. Antiphonal looks like antiphonal, if you pronounce it the way I read it, but I was told I was wrong. But antiphonal singing is when a choir or a music group, they're singing parts back and forth to each other. Now, you know I don't know how to sing, but as I get these weird tics and I just start going down the rabbit hole, figuring out what is this, who's done this. Turns out, when Ezra was in charge of the nation of Judah, he was the priest in charge. They started building synagogues because people didn't want to travel. Well, they would travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year for feasts, but they wanted synagogues, a place they could go to every week and sing and read the law. And so these synagogues, each one had about 12 families, and they were long, narrow buildings, and they had benches along the side of the wall. They didn't face forward, they faced each other. And they would sing from the book of Psalms, and they would sing back and forth to each other. Okay? So if we can get Psalm 136, verse number 1 on the screen. We're gonna practice a little bit, okay? So my right side, the left side, my right, your left. You're gonna sing, or you're not gonna sing. We'll just say it. It's a Hebrew song translated in English. It doesn't rhyme anymore, but that's okay. This side's gonna sing, and if you're in the middle, you just pick a side. I don't care which side you pick. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let's try it again. Let's go back to verse 1. We need more practice. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Okay, let's go to verse 2. Oh, give thanks. Verse 3. Sorry. Verse 5. All right, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for His word. Now this side had it easy. They had the same lyrics every time. So the smart people were over on that side tonight. Just teasing. But this is what the way they would sing. And if you think about it, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, Isaiah, in the year King Uzziah died, he has this vision. And he sees angels around the throne of glory. And one angel is on one side saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And the angel on the other side just cries back, "Holy, holy, holy." So in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, if you will, the angels are doing the same thing. What's happening on earth is a reflection of what was happening in heaven. One angel saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And the other angel's like, "I can't get better than that. So I'm just going to say, holy, holy, holy." Let's try that. "Holy, holy, holy." Come on. "Holy, holy, holy." One more time. And so they would just sing this back and, or say this back and forth to each other. God is holy. And it would just, you're encouraging one another. You're uplifting one another. You're not singing, you're singing to the Lord, but you're also singing to each other and saying, you know, He's a holy God. You know, singing used to be like a fun thing people would do, before radio and recordings, records, and you just gather around and everybody would just sing because you didn't have YouTube and Facebook, and you didn't have Hulu and Netflix. You didn't have any of that. So they would just, the family would just sing. And singing wasn't about if you could sing any good or not. People just sang. I could get away with murder in that kind of environment. I could just sing whatever flies out of my mouth. But as we technology advanced, people started saying, well, we're going to let the people who know how to sing, sing. And have you had anybody ever asked you, you're humming or singing a song, and somebody asks you, who sings that song? And you said, oh, that's a such and such song. And they're like, well, let them sing it. We've left the singing to the professionals, so to speak. We've left the singing to those who know what they're doing. And I'll be honest, I don't want to get up and do a solo because I would be embarrassed and you'd feel bad for me. It'd be terrible. But the church is one of the last places on the planet where we can all sing. And it doesn't matter if you can't carry a note in a bucket, you can still sing. And you know what? As the worship leader and the praise singers and the musicians who've practiced and they do their best and they do a phenomenal job around here and out there in the audience, we just show up and it's congregational singing. We just belt it out. And I don't know if they can hear. I hope they can't hear me up here singing back to them. That's why, thank God for the PA system, as we hear them and not me. All right? But that's one of the reasons why in church where, now if you're not used to Pentecostals, we amen the preacher. So if the preacher says something you agree with, you say, amen. It's kind of a call and response kind of thing. A preacher might say, thank God for the blood, and everybody says, amen. And now, I learned this. If a dear old mother in Zion starts saying, oh, bless him, Jesus, she's not preaching with you. She's praying for you. I learned that one. But we respond to each other. So when we find, well, now we're going to fast forward to John chapter 4. And I'm going to read several verses of Scripture. Bear with me as we read John chapter 4 and verse number 2. John says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. John has said, I'm in the Spirit, and I'm seeing stuff I have never seen before. I'm seeing a place I've never been before. Verse number 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. So there's 24 guys sitting in seats around the throne. They're clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So John is taking all of this in. And he's in awe and in wonder of this vision of heaven. Verse number 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. So you get these flying beasts, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, oh, wait a minute. These beasts are angelic creatures. This is very similar to Isaiah's vision in chapter 6. And these 4 beasts are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So here's the angels. They're still saying it. Holy, holy, holy. But let's go to verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who live forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him. So the beasts are saying, holy, holy, holy. And the 24 elders fall down. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they take their crowns off. They cross their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. And John's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've never seen this place before. I've never been in heavenly places before. But he was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was operating in the Holy Ghost, and he said, I see something that I've never seen before. But those angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. And the 24 elders are crying back, worthy is the Lamb. I felt this before. I've never seen it, but I've heard this song before. I felt this presence before. And John said, you know what? I've never been to heaven, but on earth I felt this before. What am I preaching to you today? I'm saying that when you get to heaven, it's going to feel a whole lot like 10 a.m. on a Sunday around here. When you get to heaven, you're going to see wonders and glories that you can't describe or imagine. But you're going to be like, oh, I felt this before. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the move of the Spirit. Jesus is in this house. I don't know where he is yet, but I see him. I feel him. I felt the Lord before. I know he's here. I know I'm seated in heavenly places. It's like when you go to, first time I ever left the country, I went to Guatemala. I didn't speak Spanish. I still don't. I fake it occasionally, but I don't speak Spanish. I've never been on a plane before. I've never eaten pollo campero before. But if you've ever had pollo campero, it'll change your life. I never mixed concrete in the street by hand before. There's a lot of things I'd never done, and it was all brand new. But I tell you what, when Sunday morning rolled along, and I walked into this little bitty cinder block building with like some sort of corrugated plastic over for a roof, and they started pumping out "Ay poder, poder." I was like, oh, I've heard this song before. I know where I'm at. And all of a sudden, as people started lifting up their hands, and they were singing in a language I did not know. They were worshiping in a way that I was unfamiliar with. But I knew that the same Jesus that was in Illinois and in Indiana was the same Jesus that was in Guatemala City. When I go to Sullivan, Illinois, it's the same Jesus here that it's right here. And you and I have brothers and sisters all around this world. We've never met them. We've never shaken their hands. We've never hugged their neck. But when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sing and shout the victory. Because we've been here before. We understand what's happening in this house. There's a praise that's going up. And when it rises into his throne room, his presence can't come out help, but come down and begin to touch his people and bless the saints of God. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. So we're going to jump ahead in Revelation chapter 5. First part of chapter 5, people are, John's sad, nobody can open the book. They find a guy to open the book, the guy is Jesus. Verse 8, and when he taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, everyone having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So the angels and the people are all worshiping together. Verse number 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They started singing a new song. And then John's like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such that are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power. Power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. John has a good idea. I've been here before. I know what this is about. Well, I read a verse out of the book of Mark at the beginning, so I better hit it before we run out of time. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is coming into his public ministry. He gets up in the synagogue. He reads from the book of Isaiah. And there's a man in the synagogue who has an unclean spirit. And the man recognizes Jesus. And the verse says, he cried out saying, let us alone. Don't bother us. We're fine with tormenting this man. What do we have to do with thee? Why are you here? What are you doing? Thou Jesus of Nazareth. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. Art thou come to destroy us? And then he calls him. He says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. I was studying in a commentary a couple of weeks ago. And the Holy One of God, this is the at least the wording in the Greek. I don't know if it is in the English or not. But this is one the only time I believe that it's used in Scripture. And what the commentator was pointing out was it was never a messianic title. You know, they had a lot of things that used to describe Jesus as the lion, the lamb, the root and offspring of Jesse, and all of these different things, these eloquent ways to describe who the Messiah was. But the devil didn't need a Messiah. Well, he needed one, but he didn't have one. So he's not going to use a messianic title because he's got no options. In Revelation 12 and 4 teaches us that a third of the angels left heaven along with Lucifer whenever they rebelled. They made one mistake and got fired. Could you imagine showing up to a job, you make one mistake, you're done, you're out there, you're gone? That's why he says, have you come to destroy us? Because they know hell's waiting on them. There's a lake of fire in their future. But they're asking, is it time? Because I know who you are. I've seen you before. Because see, every demon used to be with the angels. So this unclean spirit in Mark chapter 1, he's seen what Isaiah saw. Where his angelic buddies are up there crying, holy, holy, holy. He said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One. You're the one that we used to sing back and forth to about. We know all about you. You are the Holy One of God. Why did he call him the Holy One of God? Because angels were created to do the work of the Lord. And part of that work was to worship him and to praise him. He's simply reverting back to his purpose in creation. He was created to worship the Lord. He was created to say, holy, holy, holy. And so when he sees God manifest in the flesh, he's like, yeah, I've never seen you with a body before, but I know who you are. You're the Holy One. And the devils can't stop but praise his name. The devils can't hold back and say, thou art holy. There's just one of you. So why am I preaching this sermon this evening? What is the point of what I'm saying today? The devil got fired for non-performance. He got fired for not doing his job. So every time the enemy wants to lie to you and tell you You're not doing it right. You're not living it up to what you're supposed to do. All you need to do is revert back to what you were created to do. And you're going to make Him so mad. And He's going to be so angry. Because see, He was supposed to be a worshiper. But He can't. How many times have you messed up? And God says if you repent, you can come back and worship every single time. You were created to praise the Lord. You were created to be a worshiper. He said, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You were created with hands. You were created with a voice. He created you for the purpose of worship. Several years ago, Ryan Crosley and I were assistant pastors down in South Florida for Brother Hadabaugh, and a lady in the church gave us tickets to a Tony Robbins event. If you don't know who Tony Robbins is, he's a self-help guru, motivator, one of these guys. And we're like, yeah, it's free tickets, and we'll see what, okay. So we're in the whatever stadium the hockey team plays in down there. I didn't even know Florida had hockey. We're up in the nosebleed section. They weren't good tickets, but they were free. And Tony Robbins starts talking about how when your team wins a championship, you walk around like you were on the team. If the Jacksonville Jaguars somehow found a way to win a Super Bowl, you know the attitudes people would have out there? They didn't throw one block. They didn't throw a pass. They didn't tackle nobody. They weren't even the water boy. They didn't go behind the players and do their laundry. They were in no way. They didn't sell a ticket. They're no way associated with the team. But like, we won. Our Jags won. We're better than everybody else. Not we, they. And I'm just as guilty. You know, when the Cubs won in 2016, I was insufferable. But his point was, people need to celebrate something. His point was, human beings were created to celebrate and to rejoice. And I thought, you know what? We were. That's the way God designed us. He designed us to praise something else, to worship something else. And so the Mr. Robbins then tells us, on the count of three, we're all going to celebrate. And we're like, celebrate what? There's no hockey team playing. We can't cheer on a goal. We're not in church. You know, what? So he's like, you know, do the whole big one, two, three, and everybody starts, you know. And Ryan and I are standing there. We look at each other, shrug, yeah! And it was fun. And we celebrated absolutely nothing other than we were able to jump. I don't know. But when God created you and I, He didn't create you to be a mom or a dad first. He didn't create you to be a husband or a wife first. He didn't create you to be a mechanic or a soldier or a baker or a pilot or a teacher. Those are not what you were created to do first. There's a tribe in Israel named Judah. Judah means praise. You know, every time they had a battle, they sent Judah in first. Judah became the biggest tribe, and every time they go, sometimes they didn't even take bows and arrows and swords. They just went out and sang. And God would give them victory because they did what they were supposed to do first. So when the devil tells you you're not good enough at your job and you're being a bad mom and you haven't done this right and you haven't done that right, just say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody stand with me and praise the Lord. Somebody say, you know what, I'm going to reset my factory settings right now. And I'm just going to give God a little bit of praise. I'm going to give God a little bit of worship. Can somebody do what you were created to do and lift up your voice and magnify the Lord? Can somebody, does anybody have a hallelujah in their spirit tonight? Oh, hallelujah. You can clap. You can shout. You can dance. You can run. Hallelujah. You can just give. You don't have to have music to dance. I've danced without music before. Looks about as good as with music for me. You could just give Him praise, because that's what you were created to do. That's what you were designed for. Every time you worship God, you're giving the devil a black eye, because he's like, that's what he got fired for, because he didn't do it right. Praise God, praise God. Woo, I feel the Lord in this house. If you need a miracle, why don't you just begin to worship God for being a miracle working God? If you need healing tonight, why don't you just thank God for being a healer? Oh, Jesus, you are good all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. When you don't know what else to do, the right thing is to praise the Lord. When you're confused, praise the Lord. When you're down, praise the Lord. When you're on the mountaintop, praise the Lord. When you can't make a decision on to take this job or that job, just thank God you have options. When you're not sure what advice to give to your kids, just praise the Lord. Just give Him worship. Worship opens up the heavens. Praise puts you in connection with the heavenly throne room. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Lord, I love the spirit that I feel in this house. It is a spirit of worship and of praise. It's a spirit of unity. It's a spirit of love that comes from heaven above. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. I'll praise Him on the mountain. I'll praise Him in the valley. Oh, as long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. I'm just going to close reading a few verses of Scripture. And you do whatever you want to do. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Somebody praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and with the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments. Praise Him on the organ. Praise Him on the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Pastor, do you have anything you want to say?
Let's clap our hands one more time and give God thanks and praise. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. There is perhaps nothing that Satan would more like to take away from God's people, from the church, and from each of us individually than our praise, because that's what he was created for, and that's what we're created for, and he can't do it anymore. But when you and I do it, especially after having been forgiven, when you and I do it, he hates it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But God is worthy. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And thank you, Brother Byers, for coming and being with us. Amen. It's good to see you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you all.